The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
That I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
What? Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong? Disconnect.
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I've tried to correct that man a number of times. Just reiterates the same thing from the studios of Living Bread in Canton, Ohio. I told him yesterday. Of course, he probably didn't hear me because it was a recording. I'm here in EWTN, Irondale, with Ace McKay, across from the plexiglass, here in this very, very nice studio. Picture of Mother Angelica in here, our Lord. Not a single picture of me anywhere in this whole EWTN complex. I've put in my complaint. I put it in. It's not going anywhere. Are there pictures of Teresa Tomeo? Oh, gosh, Teresa's put pictures up everywhere, on the roof. There's some kind of chalk drawing outside on the sidewalk of Teresa. Oh, yeah. All over the place. I drew a mustache on it. Show is the same. It's not really a show. It's a program, isn't it? Isn't that right, Ace? Show is TV, right? Program is radio. Program is the same. The number is the same. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That is the number to call if you'd like to get onto the program. Why? I don't know. That's your motive. Most common motive is question, situation, circumstance in the life, whether it's people, places, things, rock, paper, scissors, whatever it might be that is perplexing you, want to comment on, giving you a little frustration, or maybe feel like you handled it pretty good and you just want me to say, I think you handled it pretty good. Whatever your motive is, your delight, you're welcome, and I'm delighted that you will call. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to get onto the program. And also, I was reading in the June issue of Purgatory Today, where they were saying, you know, if you help somebody out, call in with a little bit of help, especially where I fell short. I don't know exactly how much that takes off purgatory, because we really don't know how time works after we're gone, but from this life anyway. But probably takes something off. So 877-57-EQUAL. You get a hold of, I believe, Eric Dumont, unless he's busy. Then you'll get a hold of Andrew Krucek, producer man there in Ave Maria Turf. And I'm down here in EWTN, delighted to be down here. My wife and I typically watch a lot of shows like Forensic Files or The First 48, things that involve logically and evidentiary finding a way to find out, boy, you're articulate, Ray, and stuff, finding how something happened, how it went down, how a particular crime might have been committed. And it's fascinating, the technology. And oftentimes on these programs, they will show either reenactment or actual film of questioning, whether it's questioning of a witness, a suspect, a person of interest. You get to learn all the terms here. And what I find fascinating is even when the police officers might stop someone, say on the road, situation where they have to take control of it, they will do something fascinating. I've noticed it. It's relentless. And I thought it was only the habit of parents, but it seems to be the habit pretty much of communication, and even among police officers, whom you would think have a certain confident command of a situation. Let me illustrate. A detective might offer him, might walk into an interrogation room and say something like this: "I'm Detective Bowman, and I'd just like to ask you a few questions, okay? If you'd like to just sit over there, make yourself comfortable, all right?" Or a police officer: Sir, I need you to get out of the car, okay?" The word okay is a suffix to a lot of sentences. I've been noticing this, and I've wondered why this is. Is this just habit? Are we really asking if it's okay? When we adopted two of my children at age 4, we had, I think, 2 days a week of preschool experience for the kids. I would pick up the kids, and I'd just sort of stand in the classroom watching the other parents come in, grabbing up their little ones. And the dialogue went something like this: "Okay, you need to thank your teacher. Okay? Grab your coat, all right?" And I'm thinking, if I were a 4-year-old kid, which I was at one time, 112 years ago, I would wonder if I'd be thinking, no, it's not okay. No, I really don't want to do that. No, I don't think it's all right. I'm fascinated by the whole idea of these words tacked on to the end of a continuum from parents all the way to police officers and detectives. Pay attention. You will notice it, okay? And I'm wondering, what is the motive? Now, one easy one is that we naturally absorb talking around us. Words like, which were once the domain of the caricature of the Valley Girl from California, are now absolutely part of the vocabulary, and I might say they may be the most common words in the vocabulary. They substitute for punctuation. So I was like, there's no way I was going to go. So she was like, yes, you are. And I was like, no, I'm not. And she was like, I think you will if you listen to me. Now I'm like, it's very easy to do this. So I think the matter becomes one of sheepishness, linguistic sheepishness. We follow the flock and its way of expressing itself. But what is fascinating to me more than anything else? I kind of expect parents to do it because it's sort of a nicer sounding way to give a directive. You need to put your coat on, okay? So we went from a command, put your coat on, to a request. If you'd like to put your coat on, I would like if you put your coat on. But hearing police officers and detectives do it is somewhat unsettling. It doesn't seem to speak of taking control of a potentially difficult situation. Put your hands behind your back, sir. Okay? Well, I'm here just to find out a little bit of what went down that night, all right? Notice it. It is there. Okay? 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program, as I have the privilege of being down here in the EWTN studios in Irondale, Manly Town, Alabama.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Life can be overwhelming, leaving you feeling anxious, alone, or even in despair. That's why the nonprofit Revive app was created, to help you navigate the darkness and discover the light. With Revive, confidential conversations with a certified spiritual companion are always just a tap away. And right now, your first two sessions are free. Download the Revive app today. That's R-E-V-I-V, and then the number 3. Let them help you find joy in tomorrow.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing our pilgrimage to charming Ireland and its rich Catholic heritage. The shrines are nestled in the quaint Emerald Isle. Lovely people, marvelous food, sweeping vistas. Everyone's favorite is Mass at Our Lady of Knock and its Eucharistic apparition. We hope you can join us in August, along with our Irish chaplain, Father James Conlon.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Hello, I'm Marianne Kuharski with Pro-Life Across America. Did you know that a billboard can save a baby's life? When our billboards and radio ads are running, we receive hundreds of calls from those seeking pregnancy information and support. Every caller is connected to a local center offering free ultrasound and confidential counseling. Won't you join us in this life-saving effort? Donate today and help us do more. No gift is too small. That's prolifeacrossamerica.org.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, a graduate of Catholic Media's School of, articulation and stuff. Thanks for keeping me company. Let's go to Charlene from Seattle. Hi, Charlene.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
No problem. So I'm hoping you can help me.
Wait a minute. A little offended? Hoping? You should be confident I'm going to help you. I don't really like starting off our relationship on such delicate ground here, but I'm going to let it slide, Charlene. I'm going to let it slide because I'm hoping you're hoping. Thanks for the call. All right. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm adopted, and I'm a grown woman who shouldn't care whether my biological mother is speaking to me or not.
Wait, stop right there. Why shouldn't you care?
Because I'm an adult.
Okay, so in other words, what you're saying is I should be better able to deal with this because I'm a grown person. I'm not an 11-year-old.
That's right.
Okay, I got you.
So, so I'm adopted, and I was the product of a rape, so it was very difficult for her, and I'm very understanding of that. We connected when I was in my 20s. We disconnected when I was in my 30s, and we reconnected when I was in my 50s.
Sounds like a very fractious relationship here.
Well, she's like this, and she does it to everybody. I know that, and I have my theories why that is. I think she needs to be in control of every situation because she was so out of control with what happened to me, with, you know, what happened to her that led to me.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, me too.
Because if you weren't, you wouldn't know you're not here.
No, and I wouldn't have my kids. And she has told me on plenty of occasions she's glad I'm here. But
that doesn't mean she wants to have contact with you, right?
Well, we were doing great this last time, 12 years. We were doing fabulous.
And then somebody got elected.
Yep.
Amazing. It's amazing.
She came up here for my birthday, and Charlie Kirk had just gotten assassinated, and she just lost her mind. And I don't talk politics with her because I know.
When you
better.
Say, Charlene, help me out here. When you say she lost her mind, are you saying she was approving of what happened?
Oh yes.
Okay.
More than I'm comfortable with. She did say, so "I'm sorry it happened. It shouldn't have happened." But then,
but he deserved it.
Yeah, there were qualifiers.
Okay.
And we were at a restaurant. She was just in a bad mood, and she took it out on the wait staff. She took it out on me.
Well, let me distill us down here, Charlene. What you're describing is a birth mother who, for what you're putting together, has been kind of erratic, somewhat unpredictable in her attachment to you, and not living her life all that well. Does that kind of summarize it?
Well, except that for the last 12 years, it was a very consistent connection.
Well, that doesn't make sense, because if it was a very consistent connection, then something like a tragedy to Charlie Kirk and his family would not break that connection. It sounds as though it was kind of a consistent, fragile connection.
Normally, I would assume you're right, and this is my confusion. That was not the case. I drove down to Portland every 3 weeks. We went out for meals. We had a lovely time. We had been on 4 vacations.
Did you avoid touchy topics?
We certainly don't talk about abortion, that's for sure.
So what you're saying is that it sounds like both you and your birth mom are very different in your life views, how you see things, which I'm still rather perplexed. The fact that 99%, well, I wouldn't say it's that high, but it's very, very high, of our culture says in the situation where a child is conceived like you were, that abortion is not only justifiable, but it's celebratory. That's what you should do, and your mother didn't do that. So in that sense, for whatever her reasons, she was extremely heroic.
Abortion was legal.
Okay, well, all right. I got you. All right. So given that, right now your relationship with your birth mom is, I'm going to assume, estranged. She's kind of decided you think about things differently than I do, not just politically, but perhaps religiously. True?
Well, yes. But okay. That has not been a source of contention.
Okay. So right now, I got to hurry along because I don't want you to bump up against a break.
Sorry.
So right now, do you have contact, or are you asking, how do I reconnect?
I'm asking, how do I reconnect? We spoke afterwards. She told me, basically, she could never forgive me for having voted the way I did.
Whoa, and, man.
Yes. But then on Thanksgiving, she sent me...
Wait a minute. The unforgivable sin is voting a certain way. That's it. You know, I'm, as a psychologist, stunned, and I know this is not your question and I'm digressing, but I am stunned, absolutely stunned, at the number of people and the intensity with which they are willing to sever relationships because they are so, they have so much animus towards one individual that if in fact you even remotely approve or accept or tolerate the individual, you're worthy of being written off. Now, here's my question. If she says you have committed the unforgivable sin in the way you voted, what you got to determine here, Charlene, is was she just blowing off steam and she doesn't want to write off her birth daughter? Or, in fact, this came up and she's standing her ground, and as long as you think about things the way you do, stay out of my life. Which is it?
I don't know.
Okay, ask her. What do you call her? Do you call her mom or do you call her by her first name?
I call her by her first name.
Okay. So you just say, Olivia, this is what you said. Is that the way it's going to be? Yes. I don't think I can get over what you did. So you're saying, Olivia, that because I have certain attitudes and political beliefs, that is for you enough reason to write me out of your life. Is that what you're saying, Olivia? And then get her answer and say, well, okay, well, I'm here if you soften about that, but I will not push on you anymore, given that's how you strongly are standing. And I'm not going to say strongly feel, because I don't think that's a feeling. I think it's just kind of irrational. But is that okay with you? Could you do that?
Could I do that?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm afraid to, of course.
Oh, because you don't know what you're going to hear.
Yeah,
you don't know what you're going to hear. Well, it's here. You don't have to be afraid, and here's why. Because if the answer is yes, you're going to find out that answer in time, because she's not going to have any communication with you, so you're going to have an unspoken yes.
Yeah, it's very true.
And you know what's sad, my dear, and I guess maybe you just pray for your birth mom, because it's so sad that she is willing to say, I'm going to write people off. Now, you said this at the very beginning of the call. You said she's written off a lot of people. You're not the only one. Okay, and you thought you had special status because you were her birth child. You thought that, but you underestimated her hostility towards people of a certain mindset. You underestimated it. It shocked you. It came out and shook you bad.
Well, she had done it to me before. It just shocked me that it happened again. And she always brings people back into her life on her terms.
Well, then let's you just decide. I'm going to have to run, because I'm going to run up against the break. You decide if, in fact, when you ask her this, she brings you back into her life on her terms. If you decide, if you can live by those terms, that's it. It's coming down to it. Sounds, what's she, 80 years old, 70 years old? How old is she?
82.
82. You ain't going to change your mind. That's for sure. But God bless you. My own adopted children have had, three of them have had contact with birth parents, and all of which did not turn out well. That's more often the rule than the exception. And you just, my dear, you just kind of had a roller coaster ride later in life. God bless your courage, Charlene, and I'm glad you are here. This is Dr. Ray, 877-573-7825. I know I broke all radio rules. The radio rules are you only go 4 minutes or 5 minutes with a call. I can't do that. I can't just all of a sudden say, well, look, if your time's up. I don't do that. And I don't do that in therapy either. If somebody, 3 minutes before the end of the session, if they say, oh, there's just one other thing I wanted to tell you, and it turns everything on its head, I don't say, well, we'll discuss this next month when you come in. No, I'm going to go past it. And that's what I wanted to do with Charlene, because that's kind of a complex And I got to admit, something that kind of touched my own heart. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call. This is Dr. Ray.
"60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa."
Within the people of life and the people for life, that's who we are. The people of life and the people for life. Part of our self-identity. The family has a decisive responsibility. This responsibility flows from its very nature as a community of life and love, founded upon marriage and from its mission to guard, reveal, and communicate love. The family and marriage has a mission to guard love, to protect it from false forms of love, from false uses of people, using people and abusing them. It also is to reveal love and communicate love. This is part of the family's and marriage's purpose. You reveal love to the world. You know, people say, oh, marriage is just a piece of paper. That's baloney. This is you saying to the public, I'm loving my wife and my husband and my children till death do us part.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
How do we make satisfaction, do penance for our sins? Absolution from a priest takes away sin, the Catholic Catechism tells us, but it does not remedy all the disorders caused by sin. For instance, if we wrong our neighbors, we must repair the harm as far as possible, i.e., we must return stolen goods, restore the reputation of anyone we have slandered, compensate the person we have injured. Not only does sin hurt the person we have wounded, it injures the sinner. In order to regain our spiritual health, we must do something to make amends. And that is where expiation for sin comes in. Thus, the confessor administers a penance for the person's spiritual good that is commensurate with the gravity of their sins. Confession brings not only reconciliation with God, but also with the Church. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Thank you for joining me here, Ray Grandy. The program is a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio Network and EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network, here in the studios at Irondale. Across the plexiglass is Ace McKay. He's the producer down here. Hey, Ace, do you get this show just because you naturally do this on noon hour, or no, they brought you in because... For me, just for me. Is that right? Is that a privilege or that you got the short straw? Yeah, okay, he's not saying. And, of course, Andrew Krucek, producer man there in Ave Maria, and Eric Dumont, call screamer. Okay, Thomas is... Oh, Eric's gone? All right, well, say bye to Eric. Thomas waited patiently from the top of the program from Texas. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, thanks for waiting.
Yes, sir. I probably have a question you've heard a lot or taken a lot, but I have a son. He's my third child and six kids, and he, when he doesn't get what he wants, he gets destructive. For instance, like if he doesn't like something we say or doesn't get to go somewhere he wants to go, he'll walk around the corner and punch the wall or slam the door and kick it, and he's put several holes in the wall. Kick the door so many times the door's broken. And
what do you do about that, Thomas? What do you do about that?
I'll be honest, sometimes I've handled it well and remained calm. Sometimes I've lost my temper, completely lost my temper. But even
well,
when
just,
I handle
hey, Thomas,
well,
just because you handled it calm doesn't mean you handled it well.
Okay.
So do you notice what I said? I said, what did you do about that? What is the price tag for your son of busting up your place?
He has a consequence.
What is it?
He can't... It, he doesn't get what he wants. So, you know, if he wanted to go to his friend's birthday party and he put a hole in the wall, then he's not going.
So you pick the closest, most meaningful consequence as you see it for what he did.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a start, but it's highly incomplete. Example, it comes down to how you view your son at age 11 deciding that he can destroy your property because he's mad that he's not getting what he wants. And if you say to yourself, well, my other kids don't do this, well, that's true. But Thomas, your son is who he is, and he has a tendency to do this. And if you were in my office, I would say, when did this start? You don't have to answer this because you're not in my office. I'd say, when did this start? And what did you do the first five times it started? Because something in your son, probably now, I mean, I can't know your son's internal makeup, but probably something in your son has come to the conclusion that when I get mad, if I'm mad enough, I'm going to show you, Dad, and okay, so you'll hit me up with a consequence. It's worth it. I'll take the hit. Does that sound like it could be the dynamic?
Yes, yes. I mean, because he keeps doing it. He doesn't.
Okay.
He doesn't. Yeah. Even if I were to. And,
I had a colleague once who labeled it toxic consequences. In other words, when you have a particularly egregious piece of behavior, which destroying your house, I think, is a pretty big one, you sit your son down and you say, okay, this is over. From this point forward, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you if you kick a door, if you punch a wall, if you do anything to mark up or ruin our house, your house. And then you decide what you want to do, Dad. Now, if it were me, none of my kids ever did this. And they didn't do it because, not because I'm such a great dad, they didn't do it because they knew how heavy the penalty was going to be. It would have been an automatic blackout. We would have shut down every single privilege you have indefinitely until we decide that you are properly penitent and willing to do what is necessary to cooperate. Now, that could be one day, 2 days, 5 days, 8 days, 10 days, whatever. We also would have probably thrown in this. We would have said, the next time you do this, your favorite possession, whatever that is, whether it's a hoodie, whether it's a Game Boy, whatever it is gone forever. Forever. So I think your son... And this is the hopeful part of it. I don't think anything sounds wrong with your son. You know your son. And let me ask you this. Does he go to school?
He does.
Okay. Have you ever had anybody at school in the last 5-6 years he's been in school say, oh, no, we don't want to make him mad. He'll throw a desk.
Never.
Right. They love him, right?
Never.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
So basically what he's doing is he's basically doing this to you guys. And he's doing it because he figures, well, nothing really big is going to happen. Oh, yeah, okay, I didn't get to go to the birthday party. But that's it. If he understands, no, the consequences are going to be pretty heavy. I got a feeling, my friend, that he'll think long and hard before he does it. I've seen this hundreds of times from parents in my office. And almost always, if the kid's normal functioning, which... obviously, he probably is. He's doing great in school, and everybody loves him. And he probably serves mass and does all kinds of stuff like that, prays the rosary in Aramaic while he levitates. But given all that, it just may be that he's developed a habit which says, you know, when I'm mad, I can let it all hang out, and I'll take whatever consequence Dad throws at me because it's really not very much. And here's the other thing you said, and I'll let you go because I'm up against the break. You said... sometimes I'm not calm. Well, that's a bit of a payoff for your son because it's like, okay, Dad, look what I did to you. Not only did I attack your house, but I attacked your emotions. So that's a heck of a payoff. So that's the good news, Thomas. I'm very confident that if you let your son know, this is what we're going to do next time, and it isn't going to be you're going to lose one privilege. No, this is what we're going to do. I'm very confident that this stuff will fade from his repertoire of responses. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I got time. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. We got some folks on the line. But as always, I say to you, oh, no, she left. I was going to go to her next. That is wild. This always happens. All I have to do, we have a standard joke in this program, myself and Andrew Krucek. All I have to do is think about who I'm going to go to next, and they drop. Now, a lot of reasons why they drop. She just called probably 5 minutes ago, so given that, it could be just a phone thing, or she had to get out of the car to go into the store or wherever she was going. Or she listened to my answer to the previous one and said, well, this guy doesn't know that much. I think I'm wasting my time. 877-57-EQUAL, Dr. Ray.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him?
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jangle.
In the third rule of the Discernment of Spirits, the second description St. Ignatius of Loyola provides, explaining spiritual consolation, gives us insight into how God helps souls achieve greater interior freedom. Speaking of a soul who has experienced an inflaming of the love of God within their hearts, he writes, "Consequently, when it can love no created thing on the face of the earth in itself, but only in the Creator of them all, this consequence of the inflaming of the love of God through the gift of spiritual consolation brings about a perfection of love within the human heart." Father Timothy Gallagher writes, "This enkindling of love in God within us causes our love for all other persons and things to harmonize with that central love. What relationships and areas in your life need grace to harmonize with the love of God?"
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
I just want to thank you folks. You always call and keep me company, and I appreciate that so very much. Well, I rethought about going to Antoinette, who she said she had disconnected. So she's back immediately. So since I thought about going to her and she left, I'm going to think about going to her again, and hopefully I can get to her before she goes away. Hi, Antoinette.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you so much for coming back.
So, the situation came to light in my head. It's on one of your previous calls. I'm married to a man who was adopted at birth, brought home, to which there was another child in the house who was also adopted. A few years back, when the governor unsealed all the adoption records, my husband went and found, through DNA and the help of a professional, his family members, siblings, and a brother. Unfortunately, his birth mother has died. Over the course of years...
When you say family members, are you talking about adopted, other adopted siblings?
No, actually, half.
Okay, so
half
these,
blood.
Okay, these were half.
He grew up with another sister in the house who was also adopted.
From the same birth mom.
Adoption. No, they were both different mothers.
Okay, gotcha. And this is the one that he tried to reconnect with.
Well, he connected with his blood half-sisters. The problem rose in the other sibling he grew up with in the house, who was also adopted. Tried to find her family to no avail. And the opportunity came where my husband connected with some of his blood half-sisters.
Okay, it's getting hard to tell the players without a scorecard here. So that said,
right.
Antoinette, is the problem now that this adopted sister that he reconnected with, they're not speaking?
No. It's the sister he grew up with.
Okay, all right.
Who's now got an issue.
Oh, okay.
It's only been about 5 years since he's my husband has met his birth mother's children.
Okay, so the sister he grew up with in the same family, for whatever the reason, they were okay,
yes.
They were siblings, but now in the last 5 years, she's had some problems in her life, and then they've severed the relationship.
Well, it was a horrible discussion,
okay.
And awful things came out of her, and they were reference to.
Okay, a lot of resentments, a lot of historical, you done me wrong kind of stuff.
Well, it was more towards his birth mother and
I don't want to get too confused here. So why is he not talking to her?
Because of the awful things that she said to him.
Okay.
Regarding
his attitude is, you can't say those things about me, about my birth mother. That's awful.
Right.
You're terrible, and get out of my life.
Well, and he tried reasoning with her, but you know what? She was very. And now has tried, it's been like 12 months since she's reached out again, but my husband is so hurt because he doesn't.
Tell your husband not to be hurt. Tell your husband anybody can say anything nasty at any time. And if
this
is a real.
You know what?
The fact is,
he doesn't feel she's really going to take ownership.
She doesn't have to. He has to decide whether he's going to have any kind of relationship with her. That's all he has to decide. He can't say, well, if she changes, I can have a relationship with her. Because if you do that, it's real easy to say that relationship's over. Because she may not want to change.
Right.
She may not think she needs to change. She may not think she did anything wrong whatsoever. So for him to say, well, you did something wrong, you hurt me, you dissed our birth mother, you need to see that you did that, and until you see that you did that, we really don't have a relationship. If he's going to stand on that ground, well, I'd say a couple of things. One, if he is Catholic and he goes to communion, he might want to rethink this a little bit. But even if not, he's got to decide, do I want any kind of relationship with the girl I grew up with? That's really what he's got to decide. And for him to say, I do, but here's my conditions. Well, then he may just, as in essence, say, I don't. Because it sounds what you're saying here, Antoinette, is that she doesn't want to.
Is this common?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? I wrote a book just recently called How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. And in the book, one of the paramount chapters is, what do you do when somebody close in your life, your inner emotional circle, refuses to be a different way? What do you do? Do you write them off? Or do you say, well, that's who they are, and if I'm going to have any kind of relationship with them, I better just understand that's what they're like. If you demand they're going to change, you might as well. I got a wall right here. I'm going to go smack my head against, because that's probably about the same effect.
I get that siblings could become insecure, and there was a reassurance, although maybe only verbally. She may not have taken it heart where he said, remember, you know, I'm searching family, and it was more out of a curiosity of who to.
Well, here's the thing, though. I know what you're saying here, but it doesn't matter what his reasoning is. His reasoning can be totally flawless. It can be wonderful. It can be moral. It can be helpful. But if she doesn't agree with it or like it or say, I'm justified in the things I said, then he's got to make a decision. And the decision is, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll just go to her and I'll say, I want to have some kind of contact with you. And he doesn't make a demand that she take it all back. Because that as I said, he's going to get nowhere with that one.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear. God bless you. I know it's frustrating because you want your husband to kind of see it a certain way. But again, you're in the same boat because he doesn't want to change either. Same thing.
I'm in the middle.
You are, my dear. You certainly are. So I think at this point,
Thank you for all you do.
All righty, hon. Thanks anyway. Emily, real quick, you had a comment for our caller with the difficult, destructive 11-year-old. Hi, Emily.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Ray. I enjoy listening to your show, and I'm not saying that just you will replay my call.
Well, I would. If you'd have told him that, we'd have got to you quicker.
Oh, shoot. I'll know for next time. Yeah. Okay, I was calling to follow up on the father of six's call with the middle child who reacted with anger to being corrected or negated. And I was just wanting to explore a few things. I know that we can't because it's just a brief phone call, but if I could just mention them, one of them is just trying to see if the son, how he responds to transitions, if he accepts change easily or not.
Well, let me answer you real quick there, Emily, because I got to go to a break. But let me answer you real quick. How much change and transition is there in a school day?
Yeah, but that's transitions with routine, expected. I'm talking about, like, unexpected. And then I'll just tell you, like, real quick. Okay, sometimes they respond well when they're angry to sensory, what do you call that, sensory, meeting their sensory needs. I have a daughter that we like to roll up in a blanket and squeeze when she gets upset. Or sometimes we've tossed our children, we'll hold them by the legs and the arms and throw them onto a bed, and they really enjoy that when they're upset. I'm just thinking outside of the box here. That's all just...
Well, you are thinking in a very, what's the word, exceptional way. Because, yes, that can be so, but it is a very small percentage, especially given what Dad described. You had a couple things involved that led me in the direction I went. One, he said, when he doesn't get his way. All right. So it's not a matter of necessarily sensory overload, not necessarily a matter of a large argument, but he didn't get his way. That's the only time he does it. He never, ever has done it at school, at any time, with peers, with teachers, with rules, with recess, with gym, with structural change. He's never done it. He's never done it once, which tells me those issues would possibly be more likely if you saw some inkling of this in other environments. But what Dad briefly described is it only happens at home when he's thwarted, which is an indicator that a high likelihood that the dynamic is, when I get mad, I just get mad. And I'm going to show you how mad I am, which seems to be a very simple, straightforward explanation. But you're right, Emily. There are always possibly other avenues to explore. Thank you, my dear, for the call. This is Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
As the new year approaches, it's the perfect moment to check off a big resolution early and wrap your family in the gift of security. Planning ahead shows your love in a big way, ensuring your wishes shine through no matter what life brings. At MyCatholicWill.com/AVE, you can create your will at no cost from the privacy of your home. The process is straightforward. Go to MyCatholicWill.com/AVE and prioritize your family's peace of mind.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God?
You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Okay, before I go to Karen from Wisconsin, I am flummoxed and buffaloed and all of that stuff because I disagree with an awful lot of politicians and their perspectives and their angles, etc., especially those who want to kill babies and celebrate it. But I don't sever relationships because there are people in my life who have a wildly different perspective. But it amazes me. And I think that speaks of something in a lot of people's personalities. That if you think a certain way or you vote a certain way, get out of my life. And it tells me how good the media is at demonizing anybody it wants to demonize, whether you agree with them or whether you don't, and convincing large numbers of people to think that way. So Karen from Wisconsin is already getting the first signs of being written off. Hi, Karen.
Hello. Dr. A, love your show, and I just ordered your book, How to Go Along with Most People, and I'm about halfway through it. I'm enjoying it.
Well, that's not... Karen. Say something like, it's the best book I've ever read. Don't just say I'm enjoying it. Come on.
I can't say it's the best. I'm saying I'm really enjoying it. I'm learning.
Okay.
Sorry.
I can see why your son's upset at you. No, I'm teasing. You know that. So he's
I know.
When has he just decided you deserve to be treated differently?
When he found out I voted for Trump.
That's it. That's all it took.
Yep. Well, no, and that's what I want to talk to you about. He is, he served in Iraq. He was home. First of all, he lives on the West Coast, so this is difficult. I can usually only talk to him on the phone. Last year, he was home for my birthday over Thanksgiving, and he told me he's been struggling with some PTSD issues, and so he was seeing a counselor, and so we talked about it a little bit. I have another son who's very, very open. And this one that I'm talking about is very, very close. He's very independent. He's very, doesn't share a lot. He's single, doesn't have any kids. He dates, but you know, sometimes he gets in these relationships and they just...
So you're saying he's got his own problems with life.
Well, so I'm not taking this too bad, but here's what happened. I don't talk politics with him because he's gotten, in just my opinion, his views have changed since living on the West Coast for the last 21 years. He went out there for the Marine Corps and he stayed. And he's very successful when it comes to his life as far as his job. And he's very athletic. He does have a lot going for him.
Okay, I know you can describe him well, dear, but you only got about a minute and a half. So
it changed when he found out I voted for Trump.
Okay,
and here's the issue.
Changed. Okay.
January 6th, he said, by me voting for him, I have discredited his time that he spent willingly for serving our country. And I tried to explain to him. I said, Jason, I can understand serving and how you feel, but please understand my vote did not discredit that in any way. And he doesn't see it that way. So sometimes,
okay.
Dr. A, he's
right.
Very good to me.
So has he written you off? Has he written you off?
No.
Okay.
No, but I'm afraid. He will, and I don't want that, of course.
Well, he won't. Well, I don't want to say he won't. He's less likely if you don't bring this up anymore. Because I you know, there's a lot of ways to look at January 6th. And if you have a certain locked-in attitude towards January 6th, then you're not going to budge. You won't look at any other variables involved in that whole episode. So ask him, are you willing to say that what I did is a betrayal of you? Tell me how that is. Well, I served and I wore the uniform, and what happened was so awful, and you voting for the man who did it. Now, you'll get some inkling of how intense he is about this, Karen, that's for sure. And you'll get some information on how much to avoid it, and say, well, son, you can think that was not my intent at all. I hope you come to the conclusion that you can trust me on that. But if he doesn't, Karen, then hopefully he'll just soften with you over time and allow this to be, I love my mother anyway. Oh, gosh. Call me back. We ran out of time. This is Dr. Ray. Thank you so much for joining me. Walk with God. He'll give you tolerance for those who disagree with you.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.